All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the 26th day of June, 2018. Well, first of all, I want to thank John Rubino for hosting this show last week so that Mrs. Taylor and I could enjoy a Viking River tour on the Danube River. The cruise included visits to Budapest and Vienna and some smaller but very important historical cities along the river, and it ended in Passau, Germany. It was a very enjoyable trip, and it stimulated my interest most certainly to go back and study some European history. Well, I do want to thank each of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel, and I want to invite you to keep your questions, criticisms, comments, and praises sending them along to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions@gmail.com. And we do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Sponsors for this week's show are RN Resources, Balmoral Resources, Bonterra Resources, Genesis Metals Corp., Klondike Gold Corp., Northern Empire, and Novo Resources. Michael Oliver was not able to be with us again today, so with his permission, I am passing along some of his views on the markets, the most important markets that we discuss on this show. First of all, gold. His weekly momentum continues to be under pressure. However, several attributes tell us, he says, to stay alert to a likely upturn. First, the upper weekly momentum standard deviation band, upper red line on his chart, dropped below the zero line. And he notes that that's our method for defining oversold. So in his view, the gold market is oversold from that measure anyway. Secondly, he says this weekly momentum trend has evolved into an intermediate trend of decline ever since January highs and has done so in three waves. Mature age is therefore indicated. Third, he says a downtrend through peak weekly closing readings has been established. A weekly close credibly over the zero line, that's on the three-week average, will be a structural breakout. This week, that means a gold price of $1,284.50 or higher. That number will adjust downward, however, during the first week of July. And he notes it will adjust sharply downward. So in other words, the bar that is needed for gold to break out will be lowered. So he remains cautiously optimistic on gold, positive on gold, and certainly has not yet needed to go to the neutral position that he talked about three or four times since 2016 when he issued a bullish recommendation for gold. Now, with respect to the dollar, he says on a weekly basis, the dollar has reached new highs, but on a momentum basis, not even close to breaking out. The very similar story on the monthly charts. The dollar recently hit new highs, but there is a strong divergence to the downside on Michael's momentum charts. This suggests we're about to see near-term weakness in the dollar, no matter what you hear from strong dollar pundits. So with regard to the stocks, the S&P 500, of course, is what he watches most carefully. On June 21, Michael showed a weekly chart of the S&P 500 with the three-week moving average being the zero line on his momentum chart. As of June 21st, Michael informed his subscribers that the average for last week was 2753, and for this week, Michael estimates a key number for the S&P to be 2767. Then he commented, good luck in holding that level. In other words, he doesn't think it's going to be held. Just after noon today, when I checked the S&P, it had fallen to 27.28. In other words, it has significantly broken a critical weekly structure, according to Michael's work. And with regard to the three-month charts in July, Michael noted that the S&P needs to stay above 26.92 to avoid further breakdown. So it appears to be safe for now with regard to the monthly charts. All along, Michael has said he believes this bear market in stocks will be a gradual Chinese water torture type of event, not a major crash. And certainly of all three, all the major key tectonic markets that Michael watches, stock market has been the one that has refused to decline. It's been the most stubborn in terms of entering a bear market. So no doubt that has a lot to do with all manner of market manipulation by the Fed. But finally, even the S&P appears to be breaking down now, very possibly, and the stock market in general. Finally, with respect to bonds, Michael is a long-term bear on U.S. Treasuries and other foreign government debt instruments. He doesn't think this will be caused by central bank policies, but simply by supply and demand fundamentals. In other words, the markets will demand higher yields in order to fund out-of-control budget deficits on the part of governments around the world. However, Michael believes the counter-trend rally towards higher bond prices and lower yields may still have a bit further to go. He warned about that in May, and especially if the equity markets get weak, he expects some money to go back into the bond markets, and at least initially. Then eventually, both equities and bonds, he expects, will go down in tandem. I do hope and expect that Michael will return next week to the show. Now, some of my own comments with respect to the gold share markets. And the S&P TSX Gold Share Index, back in 2011, it hit 445. It fell to about 120. It's currently at 190. So, in other words, it's 57% below its 2011 peak. And this is very much the chart for the S&P TSX International Gold Index is very similar to the chart picture for many, if not most, of the stocks that I cover in my newsletter. It has not been an easy several years. We did get a blip up in 2016, a correction that we've now endured through 2017, and so far into 2018. The second half of the year tends to be very bullish for gold. I'm expecting a better second half than a first half that we had so far in 2018. I'd like to make a few comments on some of the sponsors to this show. RN Resources announced some very impressive trench results this last week from a couple of its very large-scale targets in Peru, gold and copper targets. And it is also getting ready to start drilling on its Committee Bay project in Nunavut. This is a company its shares are down very strongly from where they were, but I think with this drill season coming up and lots of activities, a little improved gold share market and RN could be on its way to much higher prices. Bonterra Resources just announced its friendly acquisition of Metanor Resources, which I believe will be included in an eventual acquisition by Kirkland Lake Mines, and that's just a hunch. I have no inside information on that, but it just seems like a logical move given the interest that that Kirkland Lake has in both of those companies. I really do believe that we're going to see some very impressive numbers coming out when Bonterra updates its resource numbers at the second half of this year. I think this is a very undervalued stock. Klondike Gold may be the biggest sleeper among my sponsors. It holds a chunk of land striking some 55 kilometers in the famous Klondike Gold placer fields, discovered right after the California gold rush. The big news here is that Peter Talman and his team have discovered the structural controls of what I think could well be a multi-million ounce gold deposit. This would be the motherlode source for the millions of ounces of placer gold that has been mined since the late 1800s in that gold field. Northern Empire is, I believe, on to a major gold discovery in Nevada, and its operating heap leach project is huge. It provides a huge advantage, which allows Northern Empire to evolve into a production status anytime it seeks to do so. Moreover, its heap leach facility has reportedly been the reason why Coeur Mining is very interested in this company. It's the largest shareholder, and it's reportedly in constant technical discussions with Northern Empire. Last but not least, Novo Resources just unveiled a $15 million budget for exploring its Witwaters Rand-like deposit in northwestern Australia. I'm expecting more bulk sample assays in the next couple of weeks, depending on the outcome, the grades that emerge from those bulk samples. The stock could certainly be heading to a much higher level once again, perhaps mimicking its rise last summer. Well, that could be some wishful thinking on your host's part, because I do own shares. It is my biggest holding. But I should mention to you that I also hold shares in RN, Bonterra Resources, Klondike Gold, Northern Empire as well. And those are sponsors of this show. They're also recommendations in my newsletter. Now let's talk about today's show. I've titled today's show, How Much Longer Can Guns and Butter Diplomacy Last? Excuse me. Jeff Deist returns today. Lobo Tigre, also known as Louis James, returns to our microphones to explore some of the stocks that both he and I cover in our respective newsletters. Since 1971, when Nixon unilaterally defaulted on the U.S. obligation to back its currency with gold, the American empire has expanded through military might that was financed with debt-based money, while lower classes in the United States have been pacified through socialist policies. The move towards the fiat money, or what Ron Paul quite correctly calls fake money, has enabled the rich to get richer, and it has vastly reduced the middle class in America. While it has enabled America to expand its influence globally, it has also resulted in larger and larger market calamities, with the biggest one, I fear, yet to come, simply because the debt-to-GDP ratio, not only in the United States but around the world, continues to grow larger and larger. In other words, ultimately, the global economy is insolvent. As David Stockman has pointed out, Donald Trump's proposed tariffs will not fix the problem of America's chronic trade imbalances. The only thing that can fix it will be a return to an honest monetary system. In fact, the current dollar-backed system requires a constant trade deficit for America so that the currency is supplied around the world in an ever-growing manner. So no matter what tariffs Donald Trump pushes through, it will only serve to anger other nations and businesses inside the United States, but will not serve to fix America's chronic debt trade deficit, which, as I mentioned, as I just noted, requires constant deficits. The Keynesian notion that governments can create wealth by deficit spending is, of course, total nonsense, though it has seemed to, on the surface, to work quite well for quite a few years, even though seismic economic events like the dot-com crash and the housing crash have suggested something of a fundamental nature seriously wrong in our markets. So we'll ask Jeff Deist to comment on a recent paper written by his former boss, Congressman Ron Paul, titled The Dollar Dilemma, Where to From Here. We'll ask Jeff to help us understand and perceive what economic issues lie ahead of us due to the dishonest dollar, the fake dollar, if you will, massive indebtedness, and other market manipulations at the hands of our government. We will talk to Jeff Deist in the second half of today's show, but now we need to go to commercial break, after which letter writer Lobo Tigre, Louis James, known to most of you, will share some of his best equity investment ideas that are also some of my own investment recommendations in my newsletter. Don't go away. I'll be right back after the break with Lobo Tigre.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.